Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast. This is your host, Jamil Hassan, the host of the Crypto Corner, where I interview founders, thought leaders, entrepreneurs, geniuses, artists, you name it, in crypto and blockchain globally. And today I have an amazing guest, someone who I've had known since 2017. He is a crypto researcher. He is the blockchain director at SecureX. His name is Sean Brizendine. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jamil. I really appreciate you inviting me here. And please thank Simon Cocking for me as well. I'm just truly honored to be here.
It's great to see you again. It's been a few years. So to kick things off, I'll ask you the first question I ask everybody, and that is, what is your background and is it a logical background for what you do now?
Okay. I began researching, Bitcoin in 2011. And, this is back when they were like $3 each. So it was very interesting. And, just the thought of electronic cash and, where it could go and this and that. There weren't a lot of people, involved at the time. In fact, when I first started attempting to mine it, you had to know Linux, and you could only build an RPC client in order to store your Bitcoin, buying it from like the OTC exchange and, stuff like that. But, it was just very interesting. And, I right away wanted to learn how to mine just as a hobby, so that I could help others learn how to mine as well. So I kind of, assembled, little bits and pieces of information and videos from various wikis and, forums and stuff, including bitcointalk.org. And, would put the information assembled into a mining build that was very thorough. And I ended up creating a website called Bitcoin for Newbies. And I put that build on there. And I ended up taking it down because I just didn't have the time by 2014. But, by 2014, it was getting 50,000 hits a day. And that was a lot. It wasn't bringing in any money. It was just taking my time. I had to keep everything updated. Of course, we had the, a lot that went on in the time, but, it taught a lot of people early on how to mine Bitcoin as a hobby and for profit, that is. So my first involvement in actual, development and project promotion and mining, of an alternative cryptocurrency was Netcoin. Netcoin, we launched fairly in the fall of 2013, and we took it within 100 days to a $5 million market cap. And it was on, listed on Cripsy, which was the exchange of the time. And it just was, really a fantastic experience. And it kind of got me, involved with a lot of people through that. And I was offered a volunteer job with Jim at Crypto Coin Talk, which is the second largest forum aside from bitcointalk.org, as a moderator. And it was there that I seemed to meet everybody and was involved in launching of many alternative cryptocurrencies or serial clones, of Bitcoin and, Litecoin, of course. And, it was just the thing to do back then. And we got a lot of experience in doing that. And, so I had, I've probably been involved in 50 projects in my life. After, moderating for a year there, I got involved with, at the time, Crowdbucks and OmniLayer, met Craig Sellers, a lot of the people, fantastic people. Judith Jakubovics was the biz dev at Omni, just fantastic people. And I met, Lisa Chang, and went to work with her at Vanbex, which was one of the up and coming A to Z development companies at the time. And we accomplished a lot at Vanbex with Lisa and Kevin Hobbs. and just got a lot of experience. Went on my own, started advising projects during the ICO phase, became a blockchain expert and the people of blockchain on ICO bench. From there, just kept continuing to get involved in other projects. I am a certified blockchain professional by the IIB Council. I am a blockchain expert on ICO bench, for whatever that's worth still. The highest ranking I had was the top 50. I've been to the NASDAQ market site and was interviewed by Jane King 4 times for various projects. And I did a digital asset report interview with Vincent Molinari at the New York, or was broadcasting from the New York Stock Exchange, but actually wasn't, because COVID had just started and everybody was locked down. I was supposed to go there physically, but gave, the interview from home here like this, but, was able to actually give a real interview invited by Vincent Molinari for the Digital Asset Report, which is really an accomplishment for me. God, I can't think of what else I've done, but, of course, in that process, met you along the way and, really enjoyed our friendship and working together and just watching the craziness of the Wild West market, of crypto, which is just, of all the horror stories in the world that can match these crypto cowboys and how crazy they are, it is just too much. And you know what I'm talking about.
I do. And I entered in 2017, and that was crazy, and I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. So now you're working with, as a blockchain director for SecureX. So, tell me what do you do with them and what that company is all about?
Okay. SecureX. Yes. I've been with them for 20 months, 2 months before COVID-19 and the lockdown. I got involved with Nick Nicholson, the founder and CEO of SecureX. Nick has been involved in technology and artificial intelligence, and worked business intelligence for the government since the 80s. So he's old school when it comes to technology and very, very wise. Had purchased in the 90s a cloud basically of .com domains that securex.com was one, and many others, that began with secure and ended with .com. I think he's got close to 27 vertical .com markets that began with secure. SecureX being .com being the best and the one that is the leader. But securearts.com, securedocument.com, securesovereign.com. So basically is what we're doing is we're developing a open source biometric Bitcoin wallet, an SDK Flutter for Android, iOS, and desktop. And this is a fantastic wallet, as it'll allow you to be 100% in control of your keys and your coins, which is very important in this day and age, as we see. Now, what we learned from the lockdown of COVID here in California, where I am, it was very arbitrary, the restrictions of the shelter in place that we went through. In fact, it was hard to do banking. It was hard to meet anybody to sell gold or anything, as the coin shops were closed. They wouldn't allow anybody inside. Everything was discouraged, including there was no real estate transactions that went on in the state of California for close to 45 days. We found that very, very troubling. So is what we're doing with SecureX is we've developed the Secure Sovereign platform that we're building right now. And it'll be Web3. So basically, it'll be censorship resistant. It will not be able to be taken down or censored. It'll run, via satellite in the Web3. Most likely will utilize some third party like BitMessage or Tox or something like that. And of course, be on the Ethereum blockchain, allow for us to be able to transact and communicate privately in Bitcoin and transact any type of transaction needed to obtain supplies and whatever you need through Bitcoin, should we face some type of situation again, which if we went through something like that once, we have to assume that, you know, that we could expect something similar again. And I don't know if we will be able to essentially travel as much or access funds or this or that. So it's important for everyone to really take serious, you know, your financial situation. And of course, Bitcoin is the leader right now. So that's why we're focusing on a Bitcoin only wallet. We'll incorporate Ethereum as well once we develop the secure sovereign platform, of course, so that, you know, we can have the censorship resistant communications. But it's basically going to allow you to be able to communicate privately with pretty good privacy, you know, AES standard, military grade encryption, and transact your Bitcoin and obtain whatever you need without any type of restriction, censorship, power outs, internet going down, anything like that, you know, as it'll connect via the Web3 and satellites. So
how does it work? It sounds like, how do the biometrics work?
The biometrics, okay. We really studied that hard. We didn't want the biometrics to be able to be, you know, taken from a centralized database, say DMV or passports, and, you know, stolen that way. So it's device specific. The biometrics will be device specific on iOS and Android, and it won't be available on the desktop because obvious reasons. But it will be available on the Android and the iOS. So it'll just be what you utilize there through your device, and it's not stored. So, you know, of course, any issues with the, SecureX wallet, we will have, you know, an FAQ and a robot to be able to assess your problem. If you're not satisfied, we will have through Intercom, direct 24/7 communication with Salesforce in multiple languages. And if still you're not satisfied verbally with Salesforce, they will get one of us, Matthew Mitchell, myself, or Nick Nicholson, immediately to ameliorate the issue. As Bitcoin, you know, is up in the 50s and 60,000s, you know, people get, you know, very nervous. One thing I want to add is, aside from Matthew Mitchell, our developer being, his GitHub goes back to 2011, original Bitcoin developer. He developed the first staking wallet for Android for Peercoin in 2012. And just a fantastic programmer and historic figure in the community, blockchain community. But we've developed a covenant feature called Secure Covenant that allows you, upon your death, to distribute to your pre-chosen beneficiaries your Bitcoin in there. And if you don't check in within 20 days biometrically and whatever, it automatically sends after 28 days to the addresses you have listed. And so it's a fantastic feature. It bypasses probate and directly sends your Bitcoin to those that you choose.
It's awesome. That my wife asked me sometimes, she's like, what if something happens to you? How would I access your crypto? And this sounds like the perfect device and platform. So I have one further question. One of the things that SecureX says it does is benevolent technical intelligence. So how do you define the benevolence feature?
Well, I'm doing tomorrow an interview with Stephen E. Arnold of Arnold IT. He's with the current National Security Council and has been an advisor on technology and the dark web and nuclear proliferation online for the last five presidents. He is a very important person. And one of the reasons is because we are grassroots and we are of the people, for the people. We will not turn over or sell the information, the minimal information that we will have on our server regarding our customers, we will not turn over to the government or any government without a subpoena. So we are 100% benevolent. We're not going to make our money off of selling information. or just, you know, turning over information.
That sounds good. So you're involved with the benevolence, you're involved with the biometrics, you're talking to a top government official. And in our LinkedIn little chat, you said, Jamil, I am not that smart, brother. And I said, wait a second. Street smart. You're street smart, and that trumps the intelligence kind of IQ, right? In order to be in crypto for 10 years, you have to be street smart, right? So what has that looked like to you? You know, how have you stayed around for 10 years survived it? What are some of the tricks that someone else who comes in, you know, may not know, they used to know?
Well, first, just to be accurate, the interview with Mr. Arnold is the dark cyber interview. It's not on a government level or anything like that, but he is who he is. And I'm just truly honored to have this interview, just like my interview with Vincent Molinari in the Digital Asset Report. What's kept me going this whole time is being truthful, following through with my word to the best of my ability, and always trying to do the right thing and not always succeeding at it, but always giving it my best and trying to protect my reputation at all costs, which, you know, I'm not perfect and I make mistakes. For a wise man once said that an error only becomes a mistake when you refuse to correct it, by John F. Kennedy. So, I try to do my best, Jamil, and I'm not perfect, but a lot of people in the industry, they're more into the money right now, and then they're gone, you know, not their reputation. And you got to really think the long haul, be willing to admit your mistakes, correct them, try to do your best, and try to be the best person that you can be, especially when we're representing such a huge industry that it's just only growing and growing.
So humility has an important role.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And resilience does too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what would you see, you know, some of the projects out there that have been resilient, some of the people that you think have been, you know, examples of not just, you know, not like marketing influencers, but people who have demonstrated, you know, tremendous resilience in this space, and what lessons have you learned?
Oh, a lot of good lessons from, you know, from the top. The resilience, I have to say, I'll use Tether as an example. Tether's had as much FUD slung at it as anything. But, you know, they've been fined, they've paid their fines, they still are able to operate, and they satisfied the, you know, the New York Financial Services Division, and they just continue to move forward. Even the Bitfinex thing, that fine was sanctioned and done and moved forward. And it's all because of, in my opinion, Craig Sellers, who was one of the founders of Tether. He's just a stellar individual. And I've learned from Craig, just always to be the best that you can be, and he's very benevolent, and I'm just very impressed with him, and, you know, and Tether in general, you know.
Awesome. So what's what's next on your roadmap, you know, for crypto and blockchain? What do you see coming down the line? How do you see this industry's going to grow? What has changed since you entered, and what, how do you see it moving forward?
Well, I think that we are fortunate to have Professor Gary Gensler in with the SEC. I think that, you know, because of his experience with Bitcoin and, you know, he's pro Bitcoin and pro cryptocurrency. So I think that we're going to see really good things, but I think that a lot of people are going to get hurt for their failures in regards to the securities realms and the Edgar registrations and this and that. I really see, I see a lot of regulation coming that is good and overdue. However, you know, could stifle a little bit of the, you know, emerging industry and its development, but I think it's necessary. And I think that we're in good hands. It's just going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. But, you know, they seem to have deemed these token assets as securities, and we need to take that serious.
Right. So, and also, same in DeFi as in NFTs, there's going to be regulation coming in both. How do you see it both?
With NFTs, there's definitely some legal issues. There's some technology issues as well. And sky's the limit there. Same with DeFi. DeFi is, you know, there's a lot of issues, but it's going to bring in a whole new way of lending and banking. And, you know, it's just fantastic.
Awesome. So I want to thank you very much, you know, Sean, for your time today. It's been a pleasure, and we should talk more often than I'm sure a few years. Great to see you. So my last question is this. How can people find out more information about what you do, about what you're up to? How can they learn more? How can they follow you? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, and I post, I try to read at least 150 articles a day and post at least 50 of them that I deem relevant daily to my LinkedIn profile. And of course that copies to my Twitter. So, I try to put other people's information out there as often as possible.
Great. And I see that you like some of my podcasts. So that's an honor too. So
yes. Oh, one more thing. I didn't mention that I was honored to be able to co-author 4 papers on blockchain and taxes with a European lawmaker, Senja Sipic, Dame of Honor. She is the team lead of the Croatian Finance Ministry, and these papers have led to some really fantastic research into the eventual digital euro in Europe. And I'm very proud of my relationship with Senja Sipic and that accomplishment as well.
Now I have a follow-up. What was your biggest findings in that could be helpful to as things grow forward?
Well, we found that probably 169 billion annually could easily be gotten through a euro tax coin or tax B chain that would run as a kind of a ZK rollup, zero knowledge proof, beside the eventual digital euro, and easily obtain this money that could be used for social programs within Europe that's very in need of social programs and a possible universal basic income.
Awesome. So, again, I want to thank you very much for your time today, and I look forward to talking to you soon in the future.
Thank you, Jamil.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.